I have a text this morning. It's John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I can almost hear you thinking, that's not a Christmas text. Well, we want to hear about the baby in the manger. We want to hear about the shepherds and the wise men. That's a text for another occasion. But actually, it's the reason for Christmas. It's what stands behind the whole of Christmas. For example, if I said to you, why were Mary and Joseph there in that stable when she was bringing forth a child there in Bethlehem? Why was that? And the answer was, because God was giving his Son, as he had promised. We saw in that prophecy 700 years ago. Next Sunday we're going to hear a lot more about prophecy. But God was giving his Son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God had promised, and here at that time, God was keeping his promise, as God does. He had promised, and he was delivering. If I said to you, why were the shepherds willing to leave their sheep? For some of them, it would have been their whole livelihood, and robbers and wolves and all sorts of things might have come. Others would have been employed and they'd never get a job again, abandoning the sheep overnight, having them scattered to the four winds. So why did the shepherds leave their task and go to? Because God was giving his Son as he had promised all those years ago. And what was it the angel said? They said that they brought good tidings of great joy. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. God was giving his Son, as John 3:16 says. It's the explanation, it's the bedrock on which all of the Christmas account, all the episodes are based. They're all there, based upon John 3:16. Good tidings from angels. Angels had left heaven because the Son, the darling of heaven, had left heaven to take human form, to be a baby in a manger. And they came, as it were, as a heavenly troop, an escort, to bring the message. Don't overlook the fact, you shepherds, there is something remarkable happening. God's Son has come into the world. The angels told the shepherds that he was Christ the Lord. In other words, the anointed one with power. Someone has been born, the shepherds were told, that was chosen, set apart, specially selected by God with power. A small wonder they went. God was keeping that promise. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Or if I asked you thirdly, why did those wise men travel all that distance from a distant country, not knowing where they were going, going through strange lands that they'd never been to before? Because the God who once said, let there be light, who went on to create the universe, had added another star to the constellation of heaven. Why? Because God was giving his Son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It all happened. All of these events that we think of as the Christmas story, but they all built upon one thing alone. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, if that's the bedrock, if that's the foundation of the Christmas story, let's try and learn some things from that verse. Let's try and see what it says to us about Christmas and the reason for Christmas. First of all, notice God gave. I don't know if you ever stopped at that point to think about that. That God gave. Why? Why would God want to give? And yet so often as you read the Bible, you find that God is a giving God. He's always giving. Back in Genesis, you remember he said, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, shall not cease. You know, we have the green lobby, we worry about the climate and what's going to happen to the world, but God has promised. And for thousands of years, God has kept that promise. There has been seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter. He's a God who gives, who provides for his people. Have you ever meditated on the wonder of that God should give? There are some verses in Leviticus chapter 26, verse 3. If ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and your threshing shall not reach into the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and you shall eat your bread in the full, and dwell in your land safely, and I will give peace in the land, and so on. God, our God is a God who gives. And we lose track of that. We forget. There's a verse in Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. And it says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. That's John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He that spared not his son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? What about that for a blank check? Our God is a God who gives. It's amazing. He gives. But why does he give? Why would he give? Well, back to John 3:16. God so loves the world that he gave. Because he loves the world he made and the people. That's the reason. That's why God gives and gives and gives again. At Christmas, you give presents to people that you care about. And God, we're told, so loved the world that he gave to the men and women of the world his Son, prompted by love. In 1 John, we're told that God is love. It's a central characteristic of God that he's disposed to give. And give, and give again. And it says that he so loved that he gave. His love was so strong that he was even willing to give his son that first Christmas. You find it when you're getting presents at Christmas, don't you? The people you love most, you're disposed to give most to. For God so loved that he was even willing to give his son. You parents, would you give your son or your daughter? What sort of cause would you cause you to give your son or your daughter? But God so loved that he was willing to give his son. What an amazing gift. It's astonishing, isn't it? That he should love and give. Well, if God loved like that, who did he love? Who was the focus of this love that we're talking about that so constrained God? God so loved the world that he gave. People like you and me. He loved mankind. That's amazing, isn't it? When you think about the depths to which, as humanity, as individuals, as nations, the depths we've sunk to. And yet, God so loved that he gave. Someone has said that God loves the sinner but not the sin. God loves you, whoever you are, however sordid your life, however immoral, however low you've stooped, God loves you. Because God so loved the world. Whatever you are, whatever you're doing, God loves you. What a thought. That there God has his affections focused upon you in all the complexity and corruption of your situation. In spite of that, God loves you. But then fourthly, as we think about this verse, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God saw a desperate need. When you're choosing Christmas presents, the very best presents are presents that meet a need. There's someone here that you really care about. You don't buy any old expensive thing. You look at them and you think, well, there's a gap. There's a need. My gift this Christmas could just meet that need. And God looked at mankind and he saw a gap. He saw a problem. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That was the problem that God saw and God set out to address, to deal with. And that's why he gave his Son that first Christmas. God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him, you included, may have everlasting life and not perish. The Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Oh, you say, well, this is Christmas. We don't want to think about these things. But wait a minute. If you see a blind man walking towards a cliff edge, is it a kindness to say, well, I won't warn him. It would worry him. No. The kindness is to warn him. An even greater kindness is to steer him away. Give him an alternative route. And that's what God did. God so loved you that if you believe, you will not perish. That's what Christmas is about. There's a A verse in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. That's John 3:16 again, isn't it? There's God giving again. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. That Christmas gift. You know, when we do wrong in life, there are consequences. Someone steals, they're put in prison. A child is disobedient, he's admonished by his parents, and so on. And the same is true of mankind. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wages of sin is death. But you know, there's a lovely chapter in the book of Ezekiel. And it goes beyond that verse telling us that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And it tells us about God's attitude to sin. God's attitude to the consequences of sin. God's attitude when folk fall into sin. And God asks the question, do I delight in the death of sinners? And the answer comes back, no, I don't. He says he longs for sinners to change their way and to go back to him and go back and trust him. How is it with you? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But notice something else from that verse. There is a condition. Whosoever believeth should not perish. It's the same with any Christmas gift. You know, you look at someone you love, you sense a need, you choose a gift for them. But if the gift is never delivered, there's a postal strike on, or if the gift is never opened, or if it's never used, it's a wasted gift. You buy some warm clothes for someone who's in need of them, but if they never put them on, it's a wasted gift. And that verse, it says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever believeth. What does that mean? Is it just, well, yes, okay, if that's the way you want it, yes, I accept that. No, that word believeth there, it means far more than that. A better word is trust. To venture upon God for everything. Again, in Romans chapter 8, there are some wonderful verses on this theme. All things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to purpose. And then it goes on. I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. What a statement. With all the brickbats that life throws at us, nothing can separate me from the love of this God, who doesn't delight in the death of sinners. Ezekiel tells us that. He longs that sinners would turn, embrace the gift that he's giving at Christmas. And nothing, nothing will come between him, his love, and you. It's guaranteed. It's there. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? What a God we have to do with. Do you have a relationship with him? I've got one last question. Why do we celebrate Christmas at this time of the year? Wouldn't it be nicer to do it in the summer when it's warm and we can gather with all our loved ones and give our presents? Well, we celebrate it because it's then that God gave his Son to save sinners. In 1 John, we're told that because he loved us, we should love each other. And we've remembered to love each other, but we've forgotten to love God. We've forgotten to love God. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God. For God is love. God is love. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. And we've forgotten to love God as a people, as a nation, as humanity. We love each other, but we've forgotten to love God. Forgotten that he loves us. Forgotten that he's made that provision for us, that the consequences of our misdemeanors, our wrongdoing, our sin, should be dealt with by his Son in our place. What an amazing God, who's always giving, who always loves, and sometimes we turn our back upon him. What a terrible thing to do this Christmas. As you meet with your friends and your loved ones, as you give presents, remember that this is all there to remind us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.